This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here. We're with RotoWire.com. Thanks for joining us, whether you're watching live or later on streaming on the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you pick up your podcast. Fun show today. Huge NBA news every single day this week. That doesn't change today. We'll lead with that. Kyle Bond's going to join us today. We're all getting hyped for Team USA tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. He's going to join us to get the betting angles for that game. The other games on today's slate as well. Ariel Epstein, the prop queen, joins us, reveals her favorite baseball props for today, and we have our best bets as well. Lot to talk about, Nick, today. Let's get right into it there. England is down 1-0 to Congo at halftime there. Big upset in the making there. But that's not the big news for our show. Our show, the big news is Kawhi Leonard back to Toronto. We now know the Clippers are, you know, their long-term plans. We know what the Raptors are going for it in the East this year.
And those two things are very much reflected in the betting markets, Jeff. We're starting to get some more NBA futures trickling in. We have conference odds. We have title odds up there. And the Toronto Raptors now sit 8-1 to win the Eastern Conference. So only the Knicks at plus 320, the Celtics at plus 260 for odds. And that Celtics number is very interesting. We'll have to dive in on that in a little bit more detail, given the uncertain future, to say the least, of Jaylen Brown in Boston. Meanwhile, Clippers are now they're 120-1. I don't know why I'm saying that wrong. They're 120-1 to win the Western Conference. Only the Jazz, the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, and the Kings are behind them. I think the Jazz have a better roster right now than the LA Clippers. Clippers are very well coached, but you now have a big three of Brandon Ingram, Darius Garland, two very shaky defenders, kind of one-way players, and then the rookie Keaton Wagler, who is a bit of a mystery box. You know, on our show a couple weeks ago, Jeff, I said he might be the biggest kind of make or break type of prospect in the lottery. I think if it hits, it's going to go really well. If it misses, it's going to go really poorly. So the Clippers are clearly taking a step back in the short term. For Toronto, I mean, this is a sign that, one, you're more than willing to bring back this guy who came to you on a rental and then immediately left for the LA Clippers. So that relationship is still there, even though Masai Ujiri is now the head of another team. And it's a signal that the Raptors feel like they're close. You know, even though they ended up washing out last year in the playoffs, they took the Cavs to 7. I think they felt really good about how Scottie Barnes played. And that's a really interesting one, too. Scottie Barnes and Kawhi Leonard on the wing. You're incurring a lot of risk, though, bringing in a 35-year-old Kawhi Leonard, who has the health history that he does. You can't imagine that those issues are going to get better as he gets older. It's a really, really interesting pushing the chips in move for the Toronto Raptors. I think to me now, Jeff, we have this very clear big five at the top of the East with Boston, New York, Toronto, Miami, and for me, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Even though the odds would tell us that the Pistons actually have shorter odds to win the East, I think Detroit kind of feels like an obvious regression team right now. They've made some moves around the margins. They brought in John Collins. We're still waiting for, you know, whatever their big splash may be. I'm sure they'll be calling on Jaylen Brown. I don't think they'll have the package to get him. Maybe they have to settle for a Tyler Hero type, but there are five teams right now I'm very intrigued by in the Eastern Conference. And one thing we do have to mention with this trade, Jeff, the Clippers badly needed to replenish their draft capital over the next couple of years. They're sending out picks to Philly. Their 2027 pick goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder, assuming that it is a better pick than the Thunder's own pick. And I think there's something in there with the Nuggets pick. This could be catastrophic. I know we've said this a few times over the years because of all these future assets that the Thunder have accumulated, but I don't feel great about the LA Clippers not forking over what could be a high lottery pick to the Thunder in 2027.
Yeah, I agreed with you on that one there. Well, and it's interesting watching what the Clippers machinations with all their picks. It's worked out. Obviously, it worked out pretty well to get that fifth pick from the Pacers this past year. So maybe they have a good feel for that. The trading market, I suppose. Just very interesting franchise right now, what they're doing, what they're going. Are there going to be any penalties to Ballmer for what happened with the Kawhi signing in the first place? A lot of moving parts there. A lot of moving parts in all of Los Angeles. The Lakers, you know, we spent yesterday opening about with LeBron announcing, informing the world that he's going to play and he will not be a Laker. Interesting, the Lakers. It seems like the Lakers are kind of like in Tombstone. Well, bye then. It seems like they're moving on rather readily, going out and getting Walker Kessler from the Jazz. Looks like, and giving away two firsts in the process.
I think there was a lot of wondering yesterday when we had the reverse decision by LeBron, not telling us where he's playing, just telling us where he won't be playing next season. There was a lot of wondering as to, okay, well, what is the plan here for the LA Lakers? If they're comfortable parting ways with LeBron James, moving on from this big three of LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves, what is the next generation of Lakers basketball built around Luka Doncic look like? And in very quick succession this morning, Jeff, in a matter of like 30 minutes, answer, obviously Walker Kessler is the big move, going out and getting him from Utah. So not only are the Lakers signing him to a four-year, $130 million deal, but they sent two firsts in 2031 and 2033, plus two swaps in 2028 and 2030 to Utah as part of this deal. So a heavy, heavy level of investment in Walker Kessler, who's looked good so far in flashes, but has also missed a ton of time. It's been difficult to kind of separate Walker Kessler from what's gone on in Utah these last few years. Could he have played more games if he was playing for a different franchise? The Lakers probably feel that way, but they now have their center of the future, somebody who should mesh really well with Luka Doncic. They also went out and got Sandro Mamukelashvili as a free agent. They signed Quentin Grimes. They signed Colin Sexton. I'm fine with all these moves individually. Grimes, especially, I think was a nice kind of buy low candidate, a guy who I've always liked. Sexton, we know what he is. Mamukelashvili is going to be asked to play a pretty huge role. Rui Hachimura is not coming back to the LA Lakers. This is not a team that has a whole lot of depth on the wing or up front right now. So in general, you know, I don't think the Lakers did terribly here. You know, I thought the Kessler move was a little bit of an overpay. Mamukelashvili might be a little bit of an overpay. But it has not changed the fact that this is going to be just an extremely Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves centric team. You know, you don't have a lot of creation outside of those guys. And for all the moves that the Lakers have just made in the last 2 hours, they're still 20-1 to win the Western Conference. You know, everybody's chasing San Antonio and OKC. I'm not sure the Lakers in the immediate future got all that much closer to chasing a ring.
Yeah. I think they've been on that forever search for a good big man. And I think this is one of their things they felt like they had to address. We've talked about the tension it is for all these Western Conference teams, you know, trying to rebuild themselves, knowing you always are going to have the Spurs and the Thunder there, barring some, you know, catastrophic injury like to Wemby or something of that nature. You know, it's going to be that hill to climb. We saw Minnesota do it earlier, do a big tear down on big parts of that team as well. It's just always going to be that pressure. I also want to say, I think that maybe there's something in Los Angeles about F them picks, because, you know, we got the Rams doing it, and now we have the Lakers doing it. We, you know, the Clippers doing some crazy things as well there. Interesting approach to the draft. Compare that to, like, the way the Thunder have built themselves, where they've accumulated all these first-round picks and hit on them.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to accumulate the picks, you need to turn those theoretical assets into real life all-star level assets. And, you know, there's a reason you don't see teams built like OKC all that often, where you're hitting at such a rate and, you know, you make the trade for SGA, who nobody thought would become this good. And all of a sudden you have an all-star cast of players on the court and you still have a treasure trove of assets. So maybe that's an unrealistic expectation, but a lot to be decided right now, I think, in that second tier in the Western Conference.
Indeed. Got more NBA news, but first, quick note. Do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use promo code VSIN at checkout. 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com. Promo code VSIN. All right, Nick. Mitchell Robinson, no longer a Nick. He is now, this is the second time they've lost kind of a key interior player to another team in free agency in the last couple of years. He joins the Celtics. 3-year, $47.4 million deal.
Yeah, this is interesting to me as far as reading between the lines on what else that this could mean for the Boston Celtics. You know, obviously, they are, I don't know if I would say shopping Jaylen Brown, but they're talking to teams about Jaylen Brown because it feels like that marriage may not be long. So, you know, the Cavaliers are one of the teams I think that would be interested in bringing in Jaylen Brown. You know, maybe that is an Evan Mobley swap. Maybe Jared Allen would be included in that. Which tells me, if I'm the Celtics, you know, why am I bringing in Mitchell Robinson, who, you know, maybe you view him as a backup center and that's fine. And you could still get that deal done. But You know, that was my first thought is, okay, what does this necessarily mean as far as what they'd be looking for in return for Jaylen Brown? But nonetheless, Mitchell Robinson, when he's healthy, productive player, one of the best offensive rebounders in the NBA. Celtics were able to get away with this, you know, Nemus Keita and Nick Vucevic center lineup. Vooch, by the way, went back to the Orlando Magic on the minimum earlier today. So bring some stability to Boston, which is nice. We saw John Collins, Jeff, sign a three-year, $51 million deal with the Pistons. I don't think Detroit's done. You know, this is more of a retooling offseason for the Pistons. I think they'd love to make the big splashy move. I would look at John Collins essentially as the replacement for Tobias Harris. You know, a younger player, somebody who in theory has a little bit more upside. Not sure it's a move the needle type of upgrade, but Detroit's another team that I think will be very, very interested in Jaylen Brown. I wonder what the Pistons can give up. If we truly have 6, 8, 10 teams in on the Jaylen Brown sweepstakes, I don't look at what's available on the Detroit roster as something that Boston would be overly interested in compared to these other offers.
Does Boston have to trade Jaylen Brown? Is the relationship that sour?
Look, nobody knows but the Celtics and Jaylen Brown himself. But I think if we can infer based on what we've learned about Jaylen Brown over the last 8 to 10 months, I it's really hard for this relationship to be repaired. Even if they're able to talk Jaylen Brown into returning to this team, kind of being the second banana to Jason Tatum, it's just something that's always going to be there beneath the surface throughout this season. So I, for one, will be very surprised if Jaylen Brown is a Celtic next season.
We're going to pivot over to soccer next. Kyle Bond's going to join us next, preview the Team USA game, and keep you up to date on the England-Congo DR game. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Lane is Kyle Bond, soccer journalist at the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at @the_bonfire. That's two N's. Kyle, welcome as always. Thank you so much for joining us as always, especially during a knockout game, especially when we have an upset in the making with Congo DR up 1-0 on England.
Yeah, this has been a weird game, but it's very England. They struggle to break down defensive opponents and DR Congo countering very well. Harry Kane could have had a penalty. There's been a lot of debate online since the no call. But yeah, England in a hole right now. And this is kind of Thomas Tuchel's making. The squad is very unbalanced without a right back now that there's been some injuries. He left Trent Alexander-Arnold at home. They play this like slow, methodical buildup style that once you go behind early isn't really built to come from behind. It's built to slowly strangle an opponent. And so they're in trouble right now. I do think they'll pull this out eventually, but England have not come from behind to win a knockout game at the World Cup since the 1966 final against Germany. So look out.
Well, of course, keep you posted as that game progresses in the 53rd minute as we speak out in Atlanta, joined by Kyle Bond of the Sporting News, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Kyle, let's talk a little bit about what we saw yesterday. Not quite the same fireworks as Monday, but quite literally plenty of fireworks in Mexico City. Mexico, of course, able to advance. This has been an incredibly impressive run so far through this tournament for a team that has not had a ton of success in the knockout stage historically. You know, given what we've seen so far and weighing that against pre-World Cup expectations, how far do you think this Mexico team could go?
I struggle with Mexico because they didn't play anybody of note in the group stage, and I thought they were pretenders. I actually thought Ecuador would win that game. I know Ecuador wasn't terribly impressive in the group stage either, but they have a very good team. And I thought, even though the game didn't matter for Germany, that them beating Germany was impressive. I thought they played well in the game against a good opponent. Turned out that was not the case. So this was really the first result from Mexico that I was truly by. And now I'm sort of reevaluating where they are, because I'm still not really sold on them. The squad doesn't really make sense to me. They don't have any good passers. They don't have any good finishers. But they've been able to put it together and make it work. They're incredibly high work rate. And in Mexico City at Azteca, they're going to have to play the winner of this game. If they have to play England, I actually think that I like Mexico in that matchup, because that work rate would really play well against an England team. And if they play DR Congo, they're going to be favored anyways. So I actually really like their chances now. I really thought that they would go out to Ecuador. Now that they've won that game, I am really reevaluating where they are and where they could go, because Mexico at Azteca and Mexico anywhere else, it's just a completely different animal.
100% agree. Twice, they've only lost twice ever at Azteca. That's amazing. In 89 games, that's just a remarkable stat. Now there's a lot of draws in there, but still, it's really truly remarkable. So we'll see, who they get. But I think you're right. I think they're going to be live for that game, whoever wins this game, especially with England having, or if it's England or Congo, one less day of rest too, for that matter too. And that matters at altitude for sure. Let's talk about the game we're all excited about tonight. You know, Team USA playing Bosnia. We've never seen Team USA in a knockout round in prime time being a heavy favorite like this. Never. We've never been in this situation before. How do they adjust? How do you feel this game's going to go?
Yeah, thank your lucky stars for the fact that the round of 32 exists, because it gives the U.S. a chance to have a game like this. I really think that this will be a dominant performance. I do. I like how U.S. played in the group stage against two opponents that are somewhat similar to what they're going to see tonight, especially the game against Australia. They controlled that game. Even if the stats, the analytics, like expected goals and shots and all that, don't really add up to a 2-0 dominant victory, the eye test certainly did, and they did that all without Christian Pulisic. That's the thing that makes me think that really with him now, you add him into this team, and you get really a team that's much better than their opponent. That is not to take anything away from Bosnia and Herzegovina. I'm not going to Tim Howard myself here, but I do think that the talent doesn't quite match up. This Bosnia team is like Mexico in that they have a high work rate. They just don't have the attacking fortitude. They had the second lowest expected goals of any knockout team, team that qualified for the round of 32. And so I just don't think that they really match up. And by what the U.S. did in the group stage, I really like them in this game. My best bet here would be good to go the U.S. over 2.5 goals, which you can get at good plus money. But I would also put a parlay together, maybe with U.S. money line, Pulisic to score an assist and over 2.5 goals in the game. You can get that at about plus 160. Now, before we move on, I do want to mention there's something with FanDuel and DraftKings that I have seen in this tournament that I have never seen before betting soccer, which I really like. FanDuel did it first, and DraftKings has adopted it since, which is that both books are providing 90-minute odds and odds that include extra time. And you want to be really careful with what you're selecting, because the odds are obviously better if you take just the 90 minutes. So if you take a goal scorer to score 90 minutes, you can hedge a little bit and take that same goal scorer to score in 90 minutes plus extra time at a little worse odds. In some places, it makes sense. In other places, it doesn't. In a game like this, where I expect the USA to win comfortably, I'm taking the better odds in a 90-minute game, not expecting the game to go to extra time. If you have a game like yesterday, where you had Ivory Coast and Norway, and a game that both teams are very good, hard to pick a winner, you could see it going to extra time. I'm taking the extra time at lower odds to give yourself a better chance. So it's something to keep in mind when you're betting these games. I've never seen that before in soccer. Almost always betting soccer, you're only looking at 90 minutes.
We'll have more from Kyle Vaughn in just a moment, but folks, we got $30 million on the line in guaranteed prizes this season. Cash in during the NFL season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contest entries Start at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. You can play Circa Million. It's 18 weeks. You get 128 different ways to win. Circa Survivor, you know all about that one. Pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo, this one's for the high rollers. $100,000 entry fee version of Survivor. Enter these contests in Nevada. Play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed this NFL season. Go check out circusports.com for all the details. We're out on the Progressive guest line right now talking to our friend Kyle Bond from Sporting News. Just gave us a great breakdown on Team USA tonight, taking on Bosnia. But we do have another game before that, Kyle. Belgium and Senegal should be one of the closer games of the day. Starts up at 4 p.m. Eastern. How are you playing this one?
Yeah, this is one where I would probably look at taking odds, including extra time, because I do think it's a close matchup. I normally would have said Belgium to win this game, even though they have not been very impressive in this tournament, because Senegal's weakness in this tournament has been on the defensive side. Kalidou Koulibaly has really struggled. He had a nightmare performance in the group stage, but then they benched him. And if they bench Koulibaly again for this game, it sort of throws what I was expecting a little bit for a loop. We will see. So maybe wait until the lineups come out on this one. But I still think that Belgium, you could pair the over 2.5 goals with both teams to score, and you can get that at about plus 115. I really like that. I'm not picking a winner. I do think Belgium will win this game, but I could see both teams scoring. I could see them racking up a little bit of a goal count here in this game. Leandro Trossard, if you're looking for an individual player, has created the most chances of any player in the World Cup so far. I don't love that for Belgium, because if you're relying on Leandro Trossard to be your prime chance creator, maybe not the best idea. Kevin De Bruyne can't really move anymore, and so he's just been reduced to purely a passer. But I do like the over 2.5 goals and both teams to score combination here in this game. I think Belgium will get through, but I could see both sides winning.
We got about a minute left here, Kyle. Spain versus Austria tomorrow. Spain's starting to show their form after a slow start to the tournament. What do you like in that game?
I like the under here. I would stay away from the shot totals. Spain took 6 totals against Uruguay. Lamine Yamal's still not 100%. He said, he said, I'm really like 80 or 90% from his hamstring injury. And that showed. He was 7 of 17 on his ground duels, just 5 of 12 dribbling. It's very un-Lamine Yamal-like. He still needs to get into, you know, his full fitness. So I would stay away from shot counts, maybe stay away from Lamine Yamal for now. But I do think Spain will win this game, and I would take it on the under because they haven't really gotten their goal-scoring chops together yet.
Awesome stuff, as always, from our guy Kyle Bond. You can catch all of his work over at Sporting News. Got a ton of previews up for the USA game later tonight. So, again, check those out at sportingnews.com. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter at @B_Bonfire. That's B-O-N-N, Bonfire. Kyle Bond, everybody, joining us via the Progressive guest line. We're going double guests on this Wednesday here on Prop Points. Ariel Epstein, the prop queen herself, joining us when we come back, giving us the baseball plays for the Wednesday card. You're watching VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. Joining us now on the Progressive guest line is the prop queen herself, Ariel Epstein. You can follow her on Twitter at Ariel Epstein. You can check out her website, thepropqueen.com. Sign up for her newsletter. And of course, make sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel as well at Prop Queen Media. You can also sign up for Ariel's Hit Streak Survivor contest on Splash Sports. You can find more info on that through her Twitter account. Ariel, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to start off in New York, where food poisoning is the lead story, unfortunately.
I cannot believe, by the way, guys, that the Yankees all have food poisoning. Thanks for having me on. It had to have been from the clubhouse meal last night because it was a night game. I'm hoping that their pitcher, Will Warren, was out of the clubhouse by the time they ate their meal. They let him go home early, and they said, go enjoy a meal at home. So Will Warren, under 2.5 earned runs, That's what I'm looking at in plus money, plus 105. I know the game's about to start against Detroit. At home in the afternoon this season, he's gone under 2.5 earned runs in all three starts. But then even overall in the day this year, home, away, doesn't matter, averaging 1.5 earned runs per start, going under 2.5 earned runs in all seven. Detroit's averaging the sixth least earned runs per game on the road this year. So I'm going to go with the under and hope that Will Warren knows he has to put his team of food poisoning on his back and pitch like an ace today.
Well, Ariel, I think anybody who is familiar with your content knows that you are indeed a Yankees girl. It's been tough times for the Yankees over the last week. Obviously, a rough series against Boston. They've dropped the first two against Detroit. I believe they've lost 9 of their last 11 overall. Now, playing in the 2026 American League certainly helps because there are very few threats right now in the AL. But any concerns for you right now about the way this Yankees team is trending, even with the absence of Aaron Judge?
Well, that would be the concern for me, is the absence of Aaron Judge. The Yankees are being so quiet about him. We got an update, I think, a day or two ago saying that it's going to still be another 4 weeks until we even get imaging done on this rib. That's my concern. I was at Fenway this weekend watching the Yankees. It was actually my first time doing Yankees at Fenway. I've been to Fenway multiple times. Seeing the Yankees without Aaron Judge in that lineup, regardless of how much we can laugh at Aaron Judge in clutch moments, his presence was totally missed in the lineup in Fenway this weekend. Once you get past a hot Paul Goldschmidt, who we know is going to come back to life at some point, Cody Bellinger, who's hitting in a four spot, the rest of the lineup doesn't scare me at all. So if you're going to be the opposition facing this team, it's the team of slow rollers. They just can't get the job done. They can't move runners over. So, of course, not having any of the big-time sluggers like a Stanton or a Judge on a home runner bust team, that does scare me for the Yankees. But again, there's still time for them to get healthy.
Indeed. Let's move on. Cubs and Padres. We saw the Rockets red fly last night, the wind blowing out in Wrigley. We got Walker Buehler versus Colin Ray, a pitch up for the ages today, this afternoon. But you have a strikeout prop in this game that you like.
I love Colin Ray today over 3.5 Ks. Yeah, this is definitely the matchup of the day, by the way, not Skeens and Wheeler. Like, forget that one. We've got the Colin Ray game out in Wrigley against San Diego, 2:20 p.m. Eastern time. Ray has actually gone over 3.5 Ks in all six of his starts this year when facing teams with high strikeout rates against righties. San Diego, they fit that mold, righties. 35 overs, 25 unders. 9 of the last 10 righties have gone over 3.5 strikeouts. It's low. And in fact, I think this number is way too low. Ray should be booked at a 4.5. He's averaging about 4.5 Ks per start in the afternoon, going over 3.5 in 7 of his last 10 home afternoon games. And the matchup, it just says it, that this is an over matchup when you face San Diego as a righty. So we're going over 3.5 Ks. Colin Ray, I know he's been inconsistent, but clearly he likes the afternoon and at home.
Folks, this 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do here at VSiN, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription. For 1 week only, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $2.99. So that means you're getting access through July of 2028 at nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, from Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the wonderful VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, every season preview, every VSiN Pro feature we roll out over the next 2 years. But make sure you don't wait. This special 4th of July offer is going to disappear after July 7th. You can head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $2.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We're chatting with Ariel Epstein, the prop queen here on Prop Points. Fittingly, she's joining us via the Progressive guest line. Make sure you check out her website, thepropqueen.com, or YouTube channel, Prop Queen Media. Let's get some more plays on the card for this Wednesday slate, Ariel. Head over to Mets Blue Jays up in Toronto. Another afternoon game, Freddie Peralta, Patrick Corbin, our pitching matchup, and another pitching prop for you.
I love my pitcher props. I feel like pitchers are the only ones we can really get a good grasp on, considering hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing to do in sports. We're sticking with pitchers. Freddie Peralta, under 5.5 hits allowed. Speaking of hitting a baseball being one of the hardest things to do in sports, Freddie Peralta is averaging 4 hits allowed in day games this year, going under 5.5 hits allowed in 7 of those 10 starts. 8 of the last 10 righties went under this hits allowed, their hits allowed prop when facing Toronto. So Toronto really not getting much action, getting the ball in the bat. Starters averaging 4.9 exactly hits allowed to Toronto this year overall. So this number of 5.5 for a pitcher like Peralta, who does like day games, only a 1-game sample size in the last couple of years against Toronto, but only allowed 1 hit to them. So I'm going to go with Freddie Peralta today under 5.5 hits allowed, -124 against the Blue Jays.
And a heads up on that game, the Jays yanked Patrick Corbin out of the rotation. So if you're looking to kind of get some Corbin-based props, they're using Spencer Miles instead as a primary reliever. Let's go to Coors Field, where, you know, in the fantasy world, we were talking about this week with the eager anticipation for Marlins hitters. 4 games at Coors Field, followed by 3 games in Sacramento. Great, great hitter environments for both there. And they've lived up to it the last 2 days. We got Max Meyer versus Kyle Freeland today. You like a Freeland K-prop, though, against these red-hot Marlins.
It's why it's a game of numbers, guys, because when you find a number that just doesn't seem right, that's where you find your edge. And that's where I feel with Kyle Freeland today, who's a lefty facing this Marlins lineup that's striking out more against lefties. Even though the Marlins are the best team in baseball, apparently, in the month of June, Freeland's been excellent against high K lefty matchups this year. He's gone over 3.5 Ks in 9 of those 10 starts. The only one that he didn't go over was against the Marlins, and that was Freeland's season opener. So I love the rematch angle where, okay, Freeland's already faced him. I know it was a while ago, but now we can readjust at Coors, where Freeland, at least it's his home park. And at home, he's averaging just under 5 Ks per start. He's gone over 3.5 Ks, Freeland, in 5 of those 7 starts. Lefties have gone over 3.5 Ks in 9 of the last 10 against Miami. So let's take advantage of a low number. I know it's Coors. I know Miami's hot, but it's only strikeouts. And strikeouts are not correlated to wins and losses. Get the over 3.5 Ks, Kyle Freeland, tonight.
Do we have a World Cup update for you? The equalizer is in for England. Harry Kane put one in the 75th minute. So we have a 1-1 game now, closing in on the final 15 minutes of regular time. We'll, of course, keep you posted on how that game finishes up while we're on air. Still chatting with the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, here on Prop Points. And Ariel, I know you've been diving in on some K-prop trends of late, some team-specific trends. So would love to know what kind of wisdom you can impart on us. What have you been digging into?
Every week I do this updated on the K-rankings. I feel like nobody just zones in on starting pitcher strikeout props the way that I do over at thepropqueen.com. So every week I give out this weekly update in the rankings, which is K-rate and over-under. I love doing both because K-rate's important. Knowing where the books have been very wrong on over trends, also super important. For example, no one thinks that you could strike out against the LA Dodgers. Well, the LA Dodgers have actually allowed the most strikeouts to their opposing pitcher, especially against lefties. We've seen 75% of the lefty starters to face the Dodgers go over their strikeout prop. The book is making the numbers too low, thinking that pitchers can't stay in the game long enough against the grand almighty Los Angeles Dodgers. False. Now, against lefties, when you have the St. Louis Cardinals, if you have a lefty starter on the mound, automatic under. They have allowed the least overs this year, the most unders this year, the Cards, when facing lefties and their strikeout props. The Pirates, the Angels, those are automatic over spots as well whenever you go up against them, especially Pirates and lefties. So those are some of the trends that I really like, because a lot of the time with the Dodgers, like, everyone's like, oh, under, everyone, fade everyone against the Dodgers. No, 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 guys, check the numbers first. The books have been wrong on LA when it comes to strikeout props.
Excellent stuff, as always, from our friend Ariel Epstein, the prop queen, at Ariel Epstein on Twitter. Check her out at thepropqueen.com. And again, make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you're checking her out on her YouTube channel at Prop Queen Media. We'll get Jeff Erickson's baseball card when we come back. We'll give you an update on the World Cup game. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Got a whole slew of day games ongoing in baseball right now. Sam Antonacci with a homer for the Chicago White Sox. They lead the Orioles 1-0 in the top of the fifth. No hits on the board quite yet for the Baltimore Orioles. It's nothing between the Rangers and the Guardians in Cleveland. We're in the bottom of the second there. Two on, one out for the Guardians. Mackenzie Gore, your pitcher on the other side. Just started up between the Tigers and the Yankees. No action for Detroit in the top of the first. So heading to the bottom of the first. And as noted, some Yankees playing through food poisoning in this game. And we have a home run on the board as well, Jeff, in the top of the first for the Washington Nationals. As Andres Chaparro giving the Nats an early 2-0 lead over the Boston Red Sox. Still in the top of the first there. Two outs, runner on first for the Nats. So as we told you when we were talking with Ariel in the previous segment, Harry Kane puts in the equalizer for England. We are now getting late in our first World Cup game of the day. We're in the 82nd minute. It's a 1-1 game. England currently minus 400 to qualify, Jeff. If you want to jump on the Congo, could grab them at close to 3-1 over at DraftKings. But an all-time crowd pop on that goal. I went back and watched the clip in my headphones over break. I mean, I think it would suffice to say we have an England partial crowd in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, easier commute, just a soccer mad, football mad nation. Obviously, a lot of expats here to begin with as well. Big favorite in the tournament. And they are, that was a big release, too, also, because they had been knocking at the door all game long. In the first half, the Congo keeper made like five or six great plays. A defender stopped another shot on an open side of the net where they had a little deflection, open shooter, and the defender got there, blocked it with his legs. This had to be just this ultimate kind of release of pressure here from the England fan base there. Still not over, though. I mean, England desperately don't want this to get to PKs. The underdog, the favorite never wants it to get to PKs. We saw that with Germany. We saw it with the Netherlands, although I don't know if the Netherlands were favored even at that point in time. They were favored to enter the game, but obviously Morocco, I thought, was the better side most of that game. But yeah, it's like England, you know, coming into this tournament, huge expectations, not necessarily fulfilling. Obviously, they won two of their three first matches there. So, but at the same time, they've had some injuries. They haven't quite looked the same as they did in that banger of a game against Croatia to start off. So, yeah, they want to get this done in regulation time. And by the way, you know who's rooting for extra time? It's Team Mexico. Mexico's just sitting there waiting to host the winner of this game. One extra day of rest, high altitude coming in for this next game. Man, oh, man, what an advantage they're having here.
Do have a quick update in baseball. Guardians did put a run on the board. We are still in the bottom of the second. Still just one out. Bases are now loaded. Bunted in a run did Austin Hedges. So 1-0 lead for the Guardians over the Rangers in the bottom of the second inning. Let's get your plays for this baseball slate, Jeff. And we will go to that Padres-Cubs game. Walker Buehler, Colin Ray on the hill. Ariel gave us a Colin Ray strikeout prop. Where are you going?
I'm going to go with a lot of offense in this one here. I'm also going to bet the trend. The Cubs are a streaky, streaky team. When they're rolling right now. They've won four in a row. The Padres have lost four in a row. The Padres, lowest scoring team in baseball. You know, the three lowest scoring teams in baseball, as a matter of fact, are the Padres, Red Sox, and Mets. I did not have that on my bingo card for July 1st, but here we are. Yesterday, notwithstanding, big win game yesterday, 9-7 game, 9 total homers in that game. Fernando Tatis Jr. Hit 2 homers that one. He's up to 5 now. Huzzah. So I'm going to go with the Cubs on the money line, minus 117 at Bet Rivers, and Pete Crow Armstrong in the total bases over 1.5, minus 115 at DraftKings. I saw that last night. Check your lines to see if that's changed at all. And we have another score, Nick. England up 2-1.
You said it. They want to get this thing done in regulation. It looks like they very well may do that. We are currently in the 86th minute now, mid-celebration for England. And another incredible save, by the way, by the Congo keeper before that. Deflecting a ball, kind of bounced out into the back of the box. Harry Kane able to control it, had an extremely clean look and able to put that one in. So 2-1 England as we tick toward the end of regulation. England looking like they are going to cruise into that matchup with Mexico in the round of 16. Mets Blue Jays, Jeff. Freddie Peralta, we have an opener going for the Blue Jays. Talked a little bit about some of the changes with their rotation. Mets are slight favorites on the road money line. Total is up at 9, and you have a play on that total.
I do, and even though I have some concerns about Peralta on the road, 5.40 ERA, 1.42 WHIP, K percentage overall is down 28.2% to 22%. Very worried about that. But this Jays offense is also not faring. Vlad Guerrero Jr. Was scratched yesterday with a back issue. He's had an awful season. George Springer's had a worse season. Addison Barger just had another setback on his rehab. Two low-scoring games so far in this series, two unders so far. I think it continues today. The fact that Patrick Corbin is not starting has moved this from 9 to 8.5. I'm going to take the under 8.5 plus 100 over at BetMGM.
I think we could say unequivocally the best pitching matchup of the night, Jeff, gives us Paul Skeens against Zach Wheeler. Pirates on the road taking on the Phillies, 6:40 p.m. Eastern first pitch. We got the Phillies as a minus 143 favorite on the money line, total coming in at 8. You know, we have not seen peak Paul Skeens for the last 4 or 5 starts. We're still getting very good Paul Skeens, of course, but Zach Wheeler's been dealing, man, and I think you got to get something out there on him. So what are we looking at?
Yeah, Wheeler, you know, he was one of the big question marks going into the season, coming back from thoracic outlet syndrome. You know, he tweeted out a photo of his partial rib removed from him there. Yet here he is, 2.03 ERA, 0.86 WHIP, 26.1% K percentage. The velocity is all the way back. The strikeouts, are generally pretty high with him. Going up against a Pirates team that is striking out a decent amount, especially when you take away a couple of their starters due to injury. They won last night 8-0 on this one here. I like Wheeler in the over 6.5 strikeouts. Quick note on Paul Skeens. He hasn't won since May 12th. That is almost 2 full months now. And the Phillies are the team that started that losing streak in terms of decisions. They scored 5 runs in 5 innings against him. It's still, most of his outings have been pretty good. They've been Paul Skeens bad, not Patrick Corbin bad. So just to give you a point of reference there. But Wheeler over 6.5 strikeouts, minus 147 over at DraftKings.
From Skeens and Wheeler to McGreevy and Ronaldo Lopez, what do you got, Jeff, for Cardinals Braves tonight in Atlanta?
Yeah, natural transition in the elite pitching matchups there. Don't look now. The Braves are struggling. They've lost 7 of their last 8. Their lead in the NL East has shrunk to 2.5 games over the Phillies and only 4.5 over the Marlins. Marlins are 46-40, people. They're actually playing really good ball lately. Yet the Braves are still the betting favorite here. Minus 160 to win the NL East. Phillies are at plus 135. I actually think that's a play right there, is the Phillies to win the division. I'm going to just, I was under on the Braves to begin the season, so that is my bias. I just think all these injuries that the Braves have suffered have kind of taken root. You know, no Acuna, and he's not due back anytime soon. Drake Baldwin's really struggled since coming back. No Spencer Strider anytime soon. You know, Bryce Elder has kind of turned into a pumpkin. A lot of the Braves pitchers that they were getting mileage out of earlier this season are starting to lose that mileage. But the Braves offense is even worse. And the Braves offense has really struggled. They've only scored more than 4 runs once in this last stretch. And I think twice in the last 15 games. So I like the under in this game at 9 plus 105 at Caesars. And I like that Phillies to win the NL East.
All right, real quickly, before we give you our best bets of the night, Jeff, we have game 3 of a series between the Reds and the Brewers. It is a 4-gamer. Mm. We love that. If you're the Milwaukee Brewers, Andrew Abbott, Shane Drouin on the mound tonight. Are we running it back on that Brewers run line?
Reds are 4-19 now against the NL Central. The Brewers won comfortably last night. Brewers run line, minus 1.5, plus 130 at Caesars. Eat at Arby's.
Give you our best bets of the night. We are both going to Major League Baseball. Jeff, what do you got?
I'm going to go with that Wheeler strikeout prop over 6.5 strikeouts, minus 147 at DK. I just want to throw in a raise over 5.5 on the team total, minus 115 at DK over at Kauffman Stadium, a new launching pad right now.
Okay, I'm going to stick with that same game. I'm going to go under 8 in Pirates Phillies, minus 106 at DK. Like we said, Paul Skeens He hasn't been lights out. He hasn't won in almost 2 months. It's still Paul Skeens. We're still working with a really high baseline. He does not give up home runs. This Phillies offense, we know, tends to be a little bit boom or bust. Zach Wheeler, he's been dealing 1.71 ERA over his last five starts. 34 Ks in that span. So I think we get a lower scoring affair tonight out in Philly. England's still working on salting away this game. We're in extra time. They're about 4 minutes away from closing it out. Harry Kane putting them up 2-1 late and moving on potentially to face Mexico in the round of 16. Money Moves with Stormy and JVT coming your way next. This is Beeson. I'll talk to you tomorrow.